Holy Spirit, you give us tasks to do, and we are privileged to partner with you in reaching this world. Father, you gift us for those tasks. And Lord, I thank you for the gifting that you've given Paul. Lord, I know he's prepared diligently. I know he's studied your scripture. And I know he sought you for what you want to say to us this morning. So Lord, I now pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, equip us to hear and equip us to be changed this morning, to be more like you. Amen.
Okay, can you hear me? No. Steve, are we on? There we go. Is that better? Okay. Right then. Morning, everyone. Right. Let's just sort myself out there. Okay. Today, we're continuing on our series of people Jesus met, in particular, someone by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. So if you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Okay. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Our sense of sight is one of the best gifts God has given us. For me, personally, and I assume many of you, it's the most important sense I have, with hearing being a close second. Sight allows us to see our environment, to witness the beauty of the world, and to avoid things that may cause us harm. They are our windows to the physical world. Without sight, we can be severely limited in what we do. Thankfully, in today's society, the help and support for people who are blind is pretty good. Well, in Western society, at least. But in biblical times, there was no help, no support. No glasses, no opticians, no guide dogs, no medical care. And there were so many ways that people could lose their sight, from birth problems, developmental problems, injuries, along with so many illnesses and diseases that could cause blindness, that today we could treat and control, sometimes cure, but back then they just spread. This meant that blindness was one of the most common ailments of the time. Throughout recorded history, a blind person was considered weak, a permanent burden. Only in recent times has a blind person not been considered a heavy burden for a family. In the late 10th and early 11th century, everyone knows how I like the history bits, I do, a Bulgarian army led by Emperor Samuel had been invading and taking land from the Byzantines, culminating into the Battle of Kladion in 1014. Now the Byzantines, under Emperor Basil, won and captured a reported 15,000 soldiers from the invading Bulgarian army. Instead of killing them or imprisoning them, Emperor Basil had the soldiers put into groups of 100 and blinded 99 of them in every group. The 100th soldier had one eye blinded, and those one-eyed men were ordered to lead the 99 others in their group back to their commander. Now, I doubt it was done with any anesthetic or any kind of pain relief, so it's quite a horrific thing to imagine, you know, being there. But this had two lasting effects. Firstly, it utterly destroyed the morale of the army, and secondly, It placed a burden of thousands of blind people back onto the enemy, a huge strain on the communities that they were from, to care for them. It knocked the fight out of them, preventing any rebellions or any kind of revenge. Emperor Samuel survived the battle, but died 2 months later from a heart attack, reportedly brought on by seeing his blind soldiers. And by 1018, the Bulgarian Empire that had invaded and were doing so well had been destroyed. The Bulgarians lost, the pivotal point being the taking away of the sight of their warriors. Emperor Basil knew that their sight in the army had was a threat. Without their sight, they were powerless and helpless. Sight was also purposely taken as a means of cruel punishment or act of revenge, deliberately to make people suffer and keep them submissive. On top of that, the suffering of a blind person was made worse by the belief that blindness was due to sin. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So there we have the disciples asking Jesus. These are the people that went with Jesus and learned everything about sinning and so on. Who caused this man to be blind from birth because they sinned? That person is blind. They must have sinned. It was ingrained into the society. So not only did the blind have all the troubles and struggles that go with being blind, there was also a great stigma attached to them, in a similar way to those that suffered with other debilitating problems like leprosy. Deuteronomy 27:18. "Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray on the road. Then all the people shall say, Amen." Leviticus 19:14. "Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord." God had instructed his people not to mistreat those who were blind. He would not have had to make those commands if they were being treated with respect. In this passage with Bartimaeus, Jesus enforces this point. "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.'" Members of the crowd had tried to keep Bartimaeus from speaking to Jesus, tried to keep him down, had told him to shut up and be quiet. And Jesus, instead of speaking to Bartimaeus directly, like he did with so many others, he turns it around and has those in the crowd call to him, has them show the compassion. Not only does he enforce God's command to not curse and mistreat the blind, he also shows the crowd that he is there to save everyone. He demonstrated to the crowd that no one is exempt from coming to him. So in a society where life was cheap, being blind meant being treated poorly, labeled unclean and racked with sin, without worth, shunned with help from no one, no support or opportunity. So it's no surprise that most did the only thing they could to survive, one of the oldest professions in the world, begging. I have a bit of an affinity, a bit of a connection with the blind sufferers in the Bible. If you know me well enough, you know that I'm quite short-sighted. I wear glasses, obviously. Short-sighted means that without my glasses, I can only see very short distances. The distance where I can see things perfectly is about here to there. That's it. Beyond that, it's blurry. But with that distance that I can see, it's like I'm using a magnifying glass. I can see things in really good detail. If I were to take my glasses off, you would all just become this big blobby mess. So, if you ever see me read, generally I read like that, and people ask, "Why are you reading so close?" It's because that's the best position for me to read. As anyone else who has trouble with their eyes would probably agree, glasses are an amazing invention. And because of the state of my eyes over the years, I've had to have various operations on them. A couple of times the recovery has meant that my eyes had to be forcibly closed and covered to aid in their healing. I wasn't allowed to move my eyes, so they closed both. So for a few weeks of my life, I had the experience of what it was like to be blind. And just for that short time, it was awful. It was frustrating. Even with the help of my support and the family around me, it was tough. The relief I felt when I was finally able to see again is indescribable. And that was just for a couple of weeks over my life. I can't imagine what it must be like to have been permanently blind. And now, even though I cursed my eyes as a child and as a teenager, I praise God for the sight I do have and for the technology that allows me to see. If I lived in biblical times, I wouldn't have these. My eyesight is probably bad enough that I would have been sat right next to Bartimaeus, begging. Quite a humbling thought. We take so much for granted. So, Jesus and the disciples are leaving Jericho. A large crowd following them, heading to Jerusalem. And the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, he calls to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus responds, healing the man of his blindness. Jesus frequently healed the blind, his compassion and power displayed in his willingness and ability to heal those who lived in darkness and hopelessness. But Jesus didn't just heal physical blindness. More importantly, he came to heal spiritual blindness. We sing so many songs about our eyes being opened by the power of Jesus. While writing this one, one instantly came to my mind. We sung, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," and some of the most simple lyrics. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, I want to see you." A single, simple request. "Open my spiritual eyes, the eyes of my heart, I want to see you." Spiritual blindness is something that many do not even know they have. In the Bible, spiritual blindness is a major issue. Isaiah 42:19. "Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord?" And Isaiah 56:10. "Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They cannot lie around and dream. They love to sleep." The people of Israel, God's own people, were supposed to be servants, but were blind to the role that God wanted them to have. Called to be watchmen of the nation, they instead were got blind to God's will for them. Matthew 23:16. "Woe to you blind guides," you say. "If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath." And Matthew 15:14. "Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." That's Jesus calling out the Jewish leaders of their time for their blindness. As the Pharisees gained leadership, they became blind leaders of the blind. And there are many other verses based around being blind to the truth of what God has done, being spiritually blind to who Jesus was. Jesus frequently used the blind to demonstrate that he came to heal blindness, both of the eyes and of the heart. Now, before I became a Christian, I was spiritually blind. Not just unknowing, but unwilling to see the greater power working in my life. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he was not spiritually blind. His reward for his faith, for his eyes being opened spiritually, was his eyes being opened physically. He addresses Jesus, "Son of David." He did not call him Sir. He did not call him Lord or Master. Those are generic titles that could have been applied to anyone. Anyone who threw a coin to him would have been a Sir or a Master. The title, "Son of David," is specific. It's a messianic name, a name only given to the Messiah. Bartimaeus' exclamation was the first public acknowledgement of the Christ after Peter's private confession. By calling him Son of David, Bartimaeus was showing his faith that Jesus was the Messiah. The evidence of his level of faith is there in the passage. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumps to his feet and came to Jesus. He throws his cloak aside and leaps up to answer Jesus' call. His cloak would have been his livelihood, aiding him in collecting coins, protecting him from the cold at night and the sun during the day. The moment he leapt up and threw it away, he was a blind person in the crowd. That cloak was gone. He left everything behind to go to him. Before he had even been healed, he was all in. Both feet, no hesitation. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus could have asked for bread. He could have asked for coin. Jesus had given him an open choice, but he asked for something only Jesus could give, a power that no one else possessed. And Bartimaeus is one of the few who received healing whose name was actually included in the Bible. So what made Bartimaeus so special amongst the others? Well, we need to compare him against someone else who was healed. John 5:2. "Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.' But he replied, 'The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk.' So they asked him, 'Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?' The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus that had made him well." Jesus cures him and warns him about the consequences of going back to his life of sin. Not only that, but when he was healed, he didn't know who Jesus was. Who healed you? I don't know. Can we see the difference? The faith is not there. This man may be healed physically, but he is still blind spiritually, even after witnessing the power of Jesus. He just seems confused by this random stranger who somehow managed to heal him with words. Yes, he called him sir, but to each beggar, everyone who passed would have been called sir. Sir, kind sir, spare alms for a poor blind man. Master, spare a coin for a man who cannot walk. Unlike this man, when Bartimaeus is healed, he immediately follows Jesus, which led Mark to make sure that we knew his name. Bartimaeus had definitely been saved and served the church. That is the reason why some theologians believe that we know his name. So, what if Bartimaeus believed but just kept quiet, or obeyed those who told him to keep quiet? Jesus would have walked right by him. Matthew 7, verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." These are actions where we have to be bold and make the first step. Bartimaeus called out loudly and proudly. He would not be swayed to do otherwise. He persisted in calling to Jesus despite attempts to silence him. His faith in who Jesus was evident before Jesus had even said a word to him. He shows us that faith can be humble and gracious without being silent and meek. So how do we apply this to our lives today? Well, we live in a skeptical world where people always demand proof. I will believe it when I see it. And people expect the same from God. I will believe in God when I see evidence of it. And I want you to have a look at these faces and see if your eyes can tell me what all these people have in common. So, what's the one thing they all have in common? Would anyone like a guess? Possibly. The one thing that links them all together: they don't exist. They're not real people. Those people that look realistic never existed. Your eyes are telling you that these are real people, but those images are a computer's idea of what human faces look like. Social media, print media, TV, throughout our life, in the world, everywhere is full of visual deceptions. Our physical eyes can be deceived. I will believe it when I see it is the skeptical world's counter to faith. But what people see with their eyes is not the truth. It means that so much of the world is spiritually blind. If your spiritual eyes are open and focused on the light of Jesus, you cannot be deceived. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. And like Emperor Basil, who took the physical sight of the Bulgarian army, the enemy knows that without our spiritual sight, we are powerless. Bartimaeus is that verse in human form. In his faith, asked for his sight. He received not only his physical sight, but his spiritual sight, showing him the path to take. And that was to follow Jesus. Here we have a blind beggar who had nothing, showing up those of us who have been given so much, a life full of the comforts of modern day living. There are those both physically and spiritually who would prefer we keep quiet, to lose focus of our spiritual sight. We need to be like Bartimaeus, spiritual eyes open and focused on Jesus, unwavering in faith to speak up and call to him. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the spiritual sight you've given us, for the focus on you that we have. But what I do pray for is the people that don't, for where their spiritual sight is not there or blurred. We pray for a focusing in their lives. And even if people know you, but perhaps their sight is blurring, refocus them for you to show them the truth. Amen. Now, I'd like to finish with a song. Again, same one. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I think that is, when I was doing this passage, that was the first one that just shouted at me, because it's so simple, and it really spoke to me about what today was about. Thank you.